The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, James and Betty celebrate 50 years of ministry and marriage at the Awaken Now Conference with guest speaker Andy Andrews.
You know, you've heard ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, ignorance of principle is no protection. Just because you don't understand the principle of gravity doesn't mean that if you stumble off a cliff, it's not still gonna be in effect. Right?
It is exciting to know that you are going to get to be in the Awaken Now Conference. Many of you who were there, you're excited. You're going to be hearing these incredible speakers and knowing that the Awaken Now Conference is available. This is the transcripts, Betty, and we have got the DVDs and the CDs, and we're going to tell you how you can get them. As you know, we don't sell products on Life Today Television, but we give gifts to those of you who help us change lives with acts of compassion and love. And Betty, we are right now giving people not only the water of life in truth, but also water for life. So we'll give you information in a little while how you can get the Awaken Now conference tapes, DVDs, and CDs. You're going to have to be quick to keep up with this guy. Betty, if I jumped off platforms like Andy, you'd have to come pick me up on a stretcher. He's all over the auditorium. But boy, how anointed he is. Here is Andy Andrews.
Any kind of sound you can imagine.
And I really need...
Now, here's something that you need to know about the corporate culture. Corporate people think that any speaker is a motivational speaker. They don't know how else to describe it. And that's where they say, oh, he's a motivational speaker. So I always tell people right off the bat, I am not a motivational speaker. I don't know what you're expecting, but to me, motivation is a myth. I think encouragement is fine. I just think proof is better. I think that you can encourage somebody, you can encourage me, and it might last as long as you're in the room with me, or until Friday, until the first crazy things happen in my life. But if you prove something to me, that's gonna last forever. You know, when you were a little kid, there was some time, there was some point, you probably don't remember it, but there was some point that you did not know what 2 + 2 equaled. And people would say, you know, trying to get you to, you know, what's 2 + 2? And maybe you memorized 4. And you didn't really know, though, until there was that one day, and again, you probably don't even remember it, but there was one day that somebody sat you down and they said, okay, and they took like 2 apples and then 2, and they said, no, the 2 and 2, and we put that add, that's a plus, and that is for, and then it clicked. It clicked at that moment. Again, you don't remember it, but boy, it clicked. And here's what I'm saying. From that point on, you never questioned that. I mean, boy, 2 + 2 is always 4. And you didn't get to junior high school and have crazy things going on in your life and go, I'm just gonna have to rethink everything and go back and redo 2 + 2. You didn't. That one was there. You didn't have to doubt it again because it was proven beyond a reasonable doubt to you. In addition, not only did you not have to rethink it, you used that as a basis because you actually knew why 2 + 2 = 4. You were able to use that as a basis for 5 + 7 and 3 + 9. And then for subtraction and division and multiplication. And all of it was yielded from an original proof that you were able to apply in different ways. There's a lot of people in our society who don't have a clue. And then there are some people and they can do it. And then there's a few people that they can do it and they can also teach people to do it. And then there's a few people that can do it and teach people to do it, and they can manage a few people that are teaching others to do it. But there's something happens in a business and in a family and in a church and organization when suddenly there is a leader who not only can do it and teach it and manage it, but they know how it all works. And because they know how it works, they can do it again, and they can do it again, and they can make it happen again. But until somebody asks the question and figures out the answer that most people never spend time with, and until people figure out why, they're not truly empowered as God meant for us to be empowered. Now, let me tell you something. You've heard over and over here two different ideas. One is culture. You've heard that word. I stopped counting. I'll bet you Mike said it 40, 50 times. Okay, but almost every speaker from the beginning of this event has used that word culture. The other thing that people have said in one way or another is that you matter. And as Robert said, God decided to partner with a person for anything that's going to happen on the earth. Do you know that is provable too? That everything you do matters? That every move you make, every action you take or don't take matters forever for all of us? It's provable. I had a general call me a number of years ago, guy in the Air Force, started my whole thing with them, and the long story short is, it was about suicides that they had determined they were about to reveal that they had more suicides than the civilian population, and so the USAFE commander, the guy, the four-star guy, it was head of Europe, the Middle East. Bosnia, Serbia, all that, everything but the Pacific, said to me one night over a secure line, he was in Afghanistan, and he said to me, he said, it occurred to us that we needed to call you. I'm like, really? And he said, yeah. He said, I'll tell you why. He said, all the research we're doing, our experts are telling us that these people are making this attempt and sometimes succeeding, not when they're mad, not when they're depressed necessarily, not when they're sad, but the tipping point is when they figure out to their own mind that they don't matter. So I'm mad and I don't matter. I'm depressed and I don't matter. And that point is it. And he said, frankly, Andy, we've told these kids they matter till we're blue in the face. And it's not making any difference at all. So it occurred to us also that you are the one who says you're not into encouragement, you're into proof. So we need you to somehow prove they matter. Okay. He said, prove they matter. So that was my commission, really, just to prove a life. And do you know, like many things that God provides for us in our partnership, as Robert talked, it was like right there. Have you heard of the butterfly effect? The butterfly effect was the doctoral thesis written in 1963 by Edward Lorenz, and it was presented to the New York Academy of Sciences and laughed out of the place. It was crazy. The butterfly effect stated a butterfly could flap its wings on one side of the world and set molecules of air in motion that moved other molecules of air that then moved other molecules of air. That somewhere along the line, it could create weather patterns on the other side of the world. The butterfly effect. It was ridiculous. But it was interesting. And because it was interesting, it hung around forever in myth and urban legend and comic books and bad movies until finally, physics professors proved the butterfly effect was accurate and viable, and it worked every time. And not just with butterflies either, it worked with any form of moving matter, including people. They gave it the status of a law. Today, the butterfly effect in scientific circles is just like the law of gravity. Its name is the law of sensitive dependence upon initial conditions. Turns out it's just one of God's laws. one of God's principles. Now, curiously, principles always work. I mean, always. God's principles always work. And they work whether you know them or not. You know, you've heard ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, ignorance of principle is no protection. Just because you don't understand the principle of gravity doesn't mean that if you stumble off a cliff, it's not still gonna be in effect. Right? I mean, and so there are principles that God has laid out for us that we ignore at our peril because they work whether we know them or not. Now, to understand the butterfly effect, I was in a hotel room. This is like 5 or 6 years ago. I was ironing the left sleeve of a white shirt, and I was about to go down and talk to a bunch of people, and the TV was on, and I was barely listening. I was barely, you know, I was running into the room. I was hurrying, and ABC was on. I know it was ABC because I went back and said, "What the heck was that?" And they were doing this person of the week thing, you know, and this was a Friday night, because they still do that on Friday night. And so but ABC does this person, they talk about how great somebody is and what they did and gave them the person of the week award. And so I'm barely listening. And this guy says, "And so the person of the week for," and he gave the day, he said, "is Norman Borlaug." Man, when he said Norman Borlaug, I put the iron down, I went over in front of the TV set, my jaw's around my knees. Norman Borlaug, I didn't know who the dude was years ago, but I knew who he was now. I just didn't know he was still alive. He just died in Dallas several years ago, 96 when he died, but I knew who he was. He had, in the 1940s, hybridized corn and wheat for arid climates, and they had determined that throughout the decades across the world, they calculated that his work saved the lives from famine of over 2 billion people. The guy saved 2 billion lives, and for that, he was person of the week. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, you know, what about, because I'm yelling at the TV, because I'm yelling Henry Wallace. Nobody said a word about, because I knew it wasn't Norman Borlaug who really saved the 2 billion people. It was a guy named Henry Wallace. Henry Wallace was vice president of the United States under Roosevelt. A lot of people think, ooh, what about Truman? Well, that's right, but remember, Roosevelt was elected 4 times, right? He had, curiously, 3 different vice presidents. He had Nance was one, Truman was the last one, but the middle one was the former Secretary of Agriculture, a man named Henry Wallace, who, while he was vice president of the United States, used the power of that office to create a station in Mexico whose sole purpose was to figure out how to hybridize corn and wheat for arid climates. And he hired a young man named Norman Borlaug to run it. And Norman Borlaug got the Nobel Prize. And Norman Borlaug got person of the week. But when you think about it, it was Henry Wallace who saved the 2 billion people, wasn't it? Unless maybe it was George Washington Carver. You remember Carver, don't you, the peanut? One of the things people don't know about Carver, when he was 19 years old, a student at Iowa State, he had a dairy sciences professor who on Saturday and Sunday afternoon would allow his 6-year-old boy to go on botanical expeditions with this brilliant student. George Washington Carver was his babysitter. Basically, it was George Washington Carver that took this 6-year-old and pointed his life in a direction. It was George Washington Carver that took this 6-year-old Henry Wallace, long before he ever thought about being vice president of the United States, and put a vision in his life about plants and what they could do for humanity. It's amazing, isn't it, to think of George Washington Carver flapping his butterfly wings all those years with a peanut. 266 things he developed from the peanut that we still use today. For years, he flapped his wings with the sweet potato. 88 things he developed from the sweet potato that we still use today. And while nobody was even looking, he took a couple of weekends and flapped his wings with a 6-year-old and just happened to save the lives of 2 billion people and counting. So when you think about it, maybe George Washington Carver should have been Person of the Week. Unless maybe it would have been the farmer from Diamond, Missouri. A man named Moses lived in a slave state, but he didn't believe in slavery, so this was a problem for these psychopaths like Quantrill's raiders who would come through farms and villages at night, burning and destroying. And one January night, Quantrill's raiders came through Moses' farm and they burned the barn and they shot several people and they drug off a lady named Mary Washington who refused to let go of her infant son, George. Now, Moses is probably like me, kind of crazy and disorganized, but he had a wife named Susan who was very organized. And Susan immediately went to work sending messages out and messengers here and trying to create a meeting with Quantrill's raiders. And 48 hours later, she had the meeting set. And she sent her husband Moses several hours north on a black horse to a crossroads in Kansas where in the middle of the night at the appointed time, he met four of Quantrill's raiders who showed up on horseback carrying torches with flour sacks over their head and the eye holes cut out. And there, Moses traded the last horse they had left on that farm for what they threw him in a burlap sack. And as he caught it and they thundered off, he went to the ground. And there in the darkness with that breath coming out against the black night, he pulled out of that burlap sack a cold, naked, almost dead baby boy. And he jerked open his coat and his shirt and put the baby in next to his skin and covered him up and he walked that baby out. And all the way home. And the next afternoon when he stumbled through the door and put that baby in the arms of his wife, they went to the fireplace to begin to massage the child and try to get his blood going, to get him to cry, anything. And they told God, right then they pledged to God that they would raise that baby as their own. They promised God they would educate that baby to honor his mother, who they knew was already dead. And that was the moment they told that baby they would give him their name. And that's how Moses and Susan Carver came to raise that little baby, George Washington. So when you think about it, maybe it was a farmer's wife from Diamond, Missouri who saved 2 billion people. Unless. I mean, we could do that all night, right? How far back could we go? How far back could we go to show whose move at what time really was the move that saved 2 billion people, a number that continues to increase as we sit here? How far back could we go? And how far forward could we go in your life? How far forward could we go to show the difference you will make with the moves that you make and the actions that you take or don't take? Because everything you do or don't do matters forever. You know, there are generations yet unborn whose very lives will be shifted and shaped by what you do tonight and tomorrow and the next day and the next. Because everything you do matters.
I'm telling you, you know, you're going to get the entire message. We can only give you clips of most all the messages, but you want to get it all. I hope you get it on DVD. And we're asking you to make a gift to help us drill water wells, 500 of them. $144 gives 30 people water the rest of their life. For every gift over $100, you ask for the DVDs, the CDs, and you will also get the written transcript of the messages from each one of our speakers, and you will get them in their entirety. We can't get all of that on a single Life Today program, but we will send it to you in this incredible series. Now, I want you to see what we do to totally transform lives with expressions of undeniable love and compassion.
Village life might look primitive to the outside world, but to these villagers, the use of ox-drawn carts has been a way of life for centuries. Seeing content babies swaying quietly in a cool breeze paints a picture of what one might call a calm and peaceful existence. But there's an unsettling dimension to their lives that is dark and ominous. It's as if literally looking into the face of death. What is it they see? Water. It's what they don't see in this water that produces death. It's the unseen parasites and waterborne organisms that will attack the body and, if untreated, can cause death within 3 to 5 days. The ravages of a waterborne disease in a young child's vital organs are excruciating, as this grandmother knows all too well. These villagers are a resilient people. Even when faced with tragedies like this, they continue to carry on as normal a life as possible. Facing the reality of losing a child because a mother or grandmother does not have safe water to give them is unthinkable for most of us. Let's be the ones to make a difference for these precious mothers and help them see life, not death.
Well, you know, when I see the heartache and the pain, sometimes, Betty, I feel like, you know, we don't have the ability to put in words what needs to be said in behalf of those who suffer and who die. And we have been, you know, appealing the needs of people for years, and we've watched love meet the need. But how do we ever really feel like we're getting across effectively enough when the need's so great?
Well, James, we just know that we have loving supporters that do reach out and join with us and help us. And if you haven't been before, I hope you will start now, because we need your help. Anytime that there's a need that we can present that we know will bring hope and love and a cure to disease such as this, a lack of clean water, it's a simple solution. They need the water well so that these precious children that these mothers love so much and would die for themselves, they need our help. These mothers need our help, James. They don't have anything else they can do. They've done all they know they can do to help their children.
I think as a grandparent and as a parent, I think I do feel that I can come to you representing the heartache of parents, of grandparents when they lose a loved one. And we're asking you to provide the only answer. And for them, in their particular circumstances, the answer is a perfect one. It's a certain one. It's clean water. Every one of the 500 areas that we have surveyed with our missionaries, we know definitely there is water. We know that in most areas, it's relatively shallow. That would be below 200 or 250 feet. Sometimes 150 to 175. Sometimes we know there's a pretty good level of water because boreholes confirm it, where they dug down just a narrow little borehole and found water, but it gets filthy and contaminated because there's no way to protect it. So we give them a cased and cased with concrete and steel structure that protects the water shaft down to the water. And we give them a mechanical pump. If you wonder why we don't give them electric pumps, in so many areas, even where there is electricity, which many of the areas where we work there is not, but even where there is electricity in these third world countries, it's intermittent. It'll be off for hours at a time, almost every 24-hour cycle, sometimes days. So we give them something that children can activate and they can get the water. Our goal, 500 wells. Could you drill one of them? Could you give 1,200 or 2,400 and pray that another person or three people join you? $48 will give 10 people water for the rest of their life. 144 will give 30 water the rest of their life. Would you dial the number or go online and make the largest gift you can? We want to send you the Awaken Now conference tapes to be a blessing to you and to inspire you. And yes, to awaken us all to the purpose and will of God for us today. Thank you so much for making that call and making that gift.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request the Awaken Now audio series, a once-in-a-lifetime gathering of 23 anointed speakers proclaiming a powerful message for every believer in God's kingdom. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Awaken Now on both audio and video, along with a companion book containing the speaker's sermons and encouraging messages. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request our new commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You know, Betty and I have the beautiful bronzes. We have every one of them. I saw today two of the same one, because I know we went back and gave another gift, and I know we ought to give the other bronze to someone that just be a blessing to them as a gift. But this is brand new, and this is a glass sculpture, incredible art piece, The Blessing, and that's what we want to be. We are here as the family of God to bless the nations and people of the world. So thank you for making a gift of $1,200 or more, and pray three join you. Or well, and any gift, ask for the CDs. A gift of over $100 to DVDs. And I think you'll want to play many of these in your Bible studies, neighborhood studies, or to the whole church. Thank you so much for helping give water for life so we can point people to the water of life.
Every day is a blessing. All the things that I was fighting with before, you just let them go and you give them to Him.
Seattle Seahawks Brian Bosworth, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.